Hey mamas, welcome to the Raising Rich podcast with your favorite mother-daughter duo, Jo and Lane. Join us as we take you on the roller coaster ride that has been my mum's life with money.
Yes, I'll be opening up about the taboo topic of money, from bankruptcy to a six-figure income and all the heartache in between. So if you're a single mama out there trying to figure it all out, then this podcast is for you.
Join us for all the ups
and all the downs on Raising Rich.
Welcome back to the couch, Mum.
Welcome back to my couch. How are you?
Our couch. I'm good.
It's actually not even ours. On a working holiday, which is lovely.
I'm
so pleased that we can do this together. We're in the Gold Coast in Australia. Episode 2.
Yeah, let's get into it. All right. We're going to talk about me, which I'm very pumped about. No, I'm not. I'm actually not. Talking about the early 90s, like in episode 1, we obviously had a bit of a chat about, you know, your upbringing, the early years with Nan, your mum, and Opa, my Opa.
Grandfather.
Yes.
Dutch or and grandfather. Dutch.
Let's pick it back up. Early 90s. How did you meet my dad?
Actually, we met working together. But what I will do is I'll just go back to the very late 80s.
Okay.
Because this is a little bit of, again, my money roller coaster ride. And I guess, you know, that's what we're sharing with people and you know, want to connect. Now, you probably know from the last episode, I was a good girl, achieving all the A's and A pluses. And of course, I got into the university of my choice. However, I didn't really think that through, did I? Because I was living in Melbourne and I got into Deakin University down in Geelong. Now, for folks who don't know, before we had the freeway down to Geelong, we lived on the other side of Melbourne. So it was actually like a 3-hour drive. So in comes Dad, my saviour, my Prince Charming, because he rents a unit for me to live in. And fully furnishes the apartment. Go, Dad. Well done. Thank you very much. And essentially, you know, he sets up so that he's paying all the bills. And all I have to do is turn up and go to uni Monday to Friday and come home on the weekends. So, you know, here we go. I'm traveling down to Geelong.
What was your choice of studying? What were you, studying to become a teacher?
Yep. You know, when it's your calling, it's your calling. Yeah, I was studying to be a school teacher even back then. And as you know, that's pretty much what I do now. But yeah, I went to uni to be a primary school teacher and I had to set up myself down there. And you know, the funny thing was I didn't have to pay for anything. And I still didn't like it because I was away from my family. I continued to travel back and forward even during the weeks. Like, you know, it might be a Wednesday and I finished uni at 3, so I would drive all the way back. And yeah, it just didn't feel right for me. Mum wasn't well. And yeah, in the end, I ended up leaving there, came home, and yeah, Dad was definitely not impressed.
No, I was
not
about to say.
Impressed at all. In fact, he called my grandparents to tell them, not his parents, my mum's parents, and I was labelled the UDO, which I didn't know about.
What's a UDO?
A university dropout.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, harsh.
Wow. So, yeah, so that was very harsh. So it wasn't that lovely. Anyway, because I was a UDO,
it sounds like a UFO. An FTI or something. Like, she's got a UDO.
She's a UDO. Good on you. Let's just label and damage a child, shall we? Like, please. Wow. Anyway, so Dad, you know, if you're going to live in this house, you're going to go and get a job. You know, I'm not going to support you anymore sort of thing. You can live in this house. You can pay board. Go and get a job. So I actually cracked it and moved out.
It's such a turnaround though from like, I guess talking about in episode one, just how much, I don't want to say of a handout that you got, but in a way, a handout that you got. And then for like round two, he's just like, actually.
You're a disappointment. Yeah. Go out and get a job. Off you go. Not that he's ever said that.
No.
He would never say that. But yeah, so it was go get a job and you can pay board or you can pay rent. So I actually moved in with my best friend, Brad. He was my little male friend that I had going through school. And his mum had moved out of the family home and he had some friends living in his place, so I went and moved in with him. Got a job. Oh my goodness, I'll never forget this. I got a job. It was the worst job I've ever had in my life, and they knew how bad I was. It was some kind of receptionist job for a place called Placard, and they made plastic cards, like, you know, your Maya card or your credit cards and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I lasted about 10 days and they sat me down and said, you probably realize you're not doing that well at the job.
Ouch.
I was like, yes, because I actually couldn't even work out how to use the fax machine.
So you've gone from a UDO to a PDO, a placard dropout.
Yeah, UDO to a PDO. So then I actually worked for a doctor's office part-time because that's all I could manage, 5 hours a day. But then I would go and work at Hungry Jack's just as a crew member. And I wore my hairnet and the brown uniform, as you do. And yeah, I had two jobs for quite some time. I enjoyed making a lot of money having two jobs, but of course I would spend every cent, never really thought about saving. And then I met your dad.
Hey. At Hungry Jack's?
I'm pretty sure it was Hungry Jack's.
Yeah. That's why the burgers are better at Hungry Jack's.
McDonald's, don't sue us.
Please don't.
Actually, I've got to tell you, Smithburg burgers are better. Smith. Have you heard of Smithburg? The little Smithburg? Yeah, they're pretty good. Anyway, met your dad and we kind of, yeah, we hit it off. We had a lot of group of friends, as you do. And I soon worked out that he was probably my Prince Charming because we went on a holiday together fairly quickly. We came up to Queensland.
Oh.
And then we just started looking for a house pretty much straight away. He had the deposit, of course, because I didn't, because I never saved. And that was kind of my Prince Charming moment.
Where did you guys buy this house?
It was out at Whoop Whoop.
For people listening, Whoop Whoop's not actually a place. It's Aussie slang for out in the sticks, mate.
out and come bum fuck ya.
Come bum fuck ya. Bum fuck nowhere.
Bum fuck nowhere.
Come bum.
Oh, you know what I meant. I get my words mixed up sometimes. I'm getting older. My brain's not functioning all the time. Upper come back to west. That's what I was trying to say. Upper come back to west. So well, that's what we would say. So
basically far away.
A long way away. Like whoop whoop means like a long far away way. Sorry. All right. It was a distance from Melbourne.
Mm-hmm.
So, but that's where we could afford. And that's where infrastructure was going on. It was going ahead. And yeah, that was, like I said, the place that we could afford. We built a little 12 or 13 square home on a 1,000 square meter block. We could fit probably an apartment building now with 20 flats, but yeah, so we just bought that and both of us were working full time. So essentially, you know, we were enjoying life. We had money coming in. We were both shift workers, so we got good pay. We were both managers by then of Hungry Jack's. Woo-hoo. And yeah, things were looking up. We would have lots of parties at our house, spend the money on the parties, pay for all the drinks, pay for all the food. We were the couple that, you know, people wanted to come to the house for.
Mm.
So
popular.
And we were popular, but it's probably only because we were paying for,
yeah,
you know, all the casual staff who couldn't afford their own drinks and what have you. And most people had to stay the night because you couldn't afford a taxi to get back to Melbourne because we were in cum bum fuck ya. We were miles away. Anyway, so, you know, I was doing all the goody-goody girl things by getting, you know, a boyfriend, getting engaged, buying a house, and then we got married. And, you know, my parents paid for the wedding. I think your dad's parents probably put in some money for that as well. Again, me not having to save for anything.
Yeah.
I've got my Prince Charming as my dad. And then I've got my Prince Charming as, you know, my husband, your dad, being my savior. Everything is looking good and on track for a life of just
a bright future.
Marriage, children, and my sports car that I always dream of owning.
Sports car.
Yeah. So
and
marriage is fine. Then I fall pregnant. And the recession hits. So in the 90s, Australia went through a recession. And if I can explain to you a recession in this manner, if you're paying $400 a month on a mortgage, your mortgage went up and up and up and up. And after the 2 years or so, it would have happened over a 12-month period. Your mortgage was now $1,600, $1,700, $1,800. So it quadrupled.
Which, when you think about it, is just so crazy insane. For that time.
Yeah.
Because, you know, your wages would have been nothing compared to what they are now.
I remember our wages were taken up by the mortgage. 2/3 of our combined income went on our mortgage.
Wow, that's insane when you really think about it.
Yeah.
Because you've got one person who's literally working
to pay
just to pay a mortgage, yeah. and even the other person is still having to contribute majority of their pay.
Yeah. And at that time, I'd fallen pregnant. I essentially had to go straight back to work within a couple of months, simply because we couldn't even have savings. We didn't have savings for me to stay at home.
Yeah.
So I finished when I was 8 months pregnant.
But that's also because you weren't getting any form of government assistance back then. Like
nothing. So we had no maternity leave, no paternity leave. If you took maternity leave, you were allowed 12 months no pay.
Woo-hoo, thank 12 you. Months no pay?
You're Oops. Allowed. You're allowed Love 12 it. Months no pay. Whereas, and there was no paternity leave. There was no support from the government. Because essentially we had one person working. So that meant that you were not entitled to any government handouts. Not even now, I believe they do a once-off lump sum payment as well, because that came about when I was having my second child. But because he was premature, we missed the first day of,
God.
So we didn't even get any money for that. So anyway, have you? You didn't come out this size, luckily.
I know, but, you know, for people not watching.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm 5'2". Madeline is 6 foot. I'm teeny tiny. She's very tall. And when people see us, like, jump onto our Instagram, rich.ripple.effect. Did I get that right?
You did, Mum. I'm very proud of you. Good job.
I'm not the techie person in this relationship. You know, we're yin and yang.
But yeah, check out our Instagram, because I'm sure people would love to just see the size difference between the two of us.
Yes. So have a child, not working, and
no help from the government.
No help.
Recession hits.
Yep. And essentially then our marriage breaks down through really no fault of anyone's, probably just my choice, thinking, well, this is not my Prince Charming. This is not the life that I imagined. And, you know, looking back, that probably stems from money. Like, we're now broke. You know, I'm living in a house that's teeny tiny compared to my friends. Like, I just don't think that I was completely satisfied financially. And not that that's a good enough excuse, but I guess because I always had the best of everything as a child, maybe that's what I was looking for. I don't know.
I also think that, like, you've still got this, I don't want to say developing brain of like a 22 year old, but essentially you do. Like,
you do. Your brain is still developing until you're 28.
Yeah. I look back at my life and go, oh my God, imagine if I put myself in mum's shoes, and you know, I'm 32 now, I couldn't imagine having a 10-year-old child running around at this point. And so I think there's a huge element of being in your early 20s and being like, oh my God, I've already married someone and it's not going the way that I thought it would, and I've already got a child, and especially having that lifestyle, as you said, growing up, getting everything that you wanted.
And I don't have the financial support or backing or savings that I thought.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm 22. I had no financial literacy growing up. So coming into a recession, I literally had no idea of what to do. I had never experienced having to save. So here I am in a marriage with a child, in a recession, trying to pay a house, trying to pay for a car loan. I've got no financial literacy skills. What do? Well, I run away. I run away because nothing's working. I don't know how to fix it. What's the best thing to do? And so I find myself as a single parent. I have to move in with people. I end up moving in with some friends who are wards of the state. So what that means is I had a couple of friends. They were sisters. Unfortunately, the awful thing was the father had abused them, and so they were taken away from him, and they were given housing and a job, etc. And they were kind enough to look after us and give us a shared bedroom with somebody else. And so for quite a few months, we lived in half a bedroom. I slept on a mattress and you were tucked into, you know how you have dresser drawers and they have like a little alcove where you can pop your chair in if you want to put your makeup on? Well, your little cot mattress lived in there. I essentially left the marriage with only some clothing, a car seat for the car. I had the car. I left with a car loan and a baby mattress, and that was it.
Can I ask, why go to your friend's house? Why didn't you go back in with your mum and dad?
My mum and dad had just separated. So they'd separated the night before you were born.
Oh.
And so I kind of only put two and two together because they came to the hospital separately. And yeah, so that was not a nice time to have found out your parents had separated when you're excited and you want to share this newborn child with their grandparents, and yeah, they come in separately. So mum had left my dad, and so he was living in the house on his own, but he was, you know, this is 9 months later or whatever, and he's, you know, partying and he's ready to move on. So I move in with these friends. I've got this home, this car loan that I'm struggling to pay. In terms of the house that your dad and I owned, like, he put the deposit in. So whatever we were going to sell the house for, he was entitled to have back. But the unfortunate thing was with the recession ate away every single bit of equity that we had.
So did you walk away with any money at all?
No,
nothing.
But it wasn't mine to take.
No, I didn't mean you specifically. Like, just from the sale of the house in itself.
No. So we purchased the house for $107,000. We put in your dad had put in a good size deposit, and my dad, he was a cabinet maker at the time. He put in the kitchen for free. Your grandfather had painted the house for free. So we had lots of help.
Yeah.
But when we went to sell the house, because of the recession, the house was valued at $92,000. Less than what we had paid. And we only had it for, I think, maybe 2 or 3 years. So it had gone backwards. So even if there was any money, like, as I said, that would have been for your dad. I took the car and I had the car loan to go with it. So, you know, I've lost my Prince Charming. I've lost my house. Then I lose the car.
Ooh.
Yes, because it was a sports car. As you know, I have a love for nice vehicles. It's my weakness. I'm trying to. I think I need to go to a bit of therapy because I do love a good car. And yeah, I had this sports car with a baby seat in the back, like two-door sports car, trying to get a baby in and out. Who was a big baby?
I mean, I'm like we said, I'm 6 foot now. So, I mean, at least I didn't come out this size, right? Like...
So grateful. I'm not sure I'd be able to walk. But yeah, so sports car, love, love, love my car. Don't want to give it up, but actually just can't afford the repayments. I'm now a single mum. I'm trying to rent, living with friends. I then moved back to my dad's house. He's not charging me board or anything, but I'm working shift work. You know, you're being handed left, right, and center to my parents, to childcare. And I'm literally just trying to make ends meet. Dad comes to the rescue again and he buys a car for me so that I can at least get to my job at a reasonable hour. And that's kind of my life in the 90s. Well, the first half of the 90s anyway. I no longer have that fairy tale. I don't have the husband, I don't have the house, and I don't have the car. Mm-hmm. And I'm living on a mattress, a shared mattress with
your baby.
With my baby. With
your fresh baby.
Mm-hmm.
So crazy times.
Yeah, that was a really difficult time. Not only financially, I would say emotionally, because my brain is still trying to figure out how did this all happen? How do I raise a child? How do I look forward? How do I still party? Like, and that's really a terrible, and I don't think I was thinking, how do I still party? But I still felt so young.
Yeah.
And all my friends were still partying. And I was like, I was 22,
yeah.
22, 23 with a child, just trying to find my way and being responsible, but also just trying to live a life.
Yeah. I'd say it's probably like your first experience of hardship, and you had consecutive things happen in a really close amount of time.
Yeah.
So it would have just felt like this massive wave of just one shitty thing after the other, after the other, after the other. And as you said, you're still young. You've still got friends that don't have kids that are still out there having a good time. Mm-hmm. And you are now, again, single as well, wanting to get back into that, I guess, lifestyle.
Yep. And then in the next episode, along comes...
Prince Charming number two.
Prince Charming number two, I think is Prince Charming number two. So yeah, if you want to hear all about Prince Charming number two, tune in.
Second half of the 90s.
Yes. I feel like the 90s dragged on.
All right. We will be back with episode 3.
Super. Thanks for joining me on my couch.
Our couch.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Raising Rich. If any of today's episode has resonated with you, we'd love for you to share it with another mama. It really helps us to connect with the right women.
And if you would like to share your story, you can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, or TikTok. Just search for rich.ripple.effect.
Is it time for a wine yet?
Oh, mum.
Oh, what?